All right, I would like you to please open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter number 1. And the essence of our gathering today is, again, to put emphasis on the fact that Jesus is the reason for Christmas. Jesus is indeed the reason for Christmas. And we don't want to lose sight of that. So Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let us pray, church. Father, thank you for gathering us together again this morning. Today, Christmas Day 2025, and we're grateful for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful to be a partaker of the benefit of that birth. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son Jesus to the world. But more importantly, thank you for sending him to our world, to my world, to the worlds of these people gathering here this morning and those joining us online. Lord, as we go through your word again this morning, let your light shine from heaven. Let there be an impartation of life upon us as your people. So that, Lord, we're going to leave this place transformed by your word, encouraged again and again as we, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, continue to follow in his footsteps. Once again, we thank you for the birth of our Savior. Thank you because that's the birth that changed everything, everything in the world and in our world. We're grateful. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the verse that we just read is a conclusion of a conversation between Mary and the angel of God called Gabriel. It's the conclusion of a conversation with an angel. And whenever we come to this time of Christmas, we read a lot about the angels, you know, the ministration of angels or the encounter with angels. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's comes across, there is this desire, this wish, you know, that comes up in the heart of people from time to time, especially when we read about angelic ministration during Christmas. Oh, I wish I had an opportunity to, you know, to speak to an angel. I wish I could have a conversation with an angel. This will be probably the things I'm going to talk to the angel about. You know, but sorry to bust your bubble. The truth of the matter is that many of us seated here will probably not have that privilege or that opportunity to have a conversation with an angel. And that's not because we're worse off in terms of our sin compared to the people in the past that have had that conversation or opportunity to have conversation with the angel. It's just that it's not that dispensation. You know, the dispensation that we're in, amongst other things, which I'm not ready to cover this morning, is the dispensation of the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, God at sundry times and in diverse manners spoken to our fathers by the prophet, as in these last days chosen to speak to us by his son. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. So he has chosen to speak to us by his son. And the son referred to here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God. John chapter 1 verse 14 says the word became flesh. So the point I'm making is that we're going to have a lot of conversation with God through his word, much more than many of us will actually have the privilege of actually having a conversation with an angel. So I'm not sure whether that's a bad news, but it's a good news in some ways. Now, I said all of that because the conversation that we are just going to be reviewing this morning is the conversation with an angel. Mary had an encounter with an angel. And it's interesting, the number of times that Joseph actually had an encounter with an angel, I never knew that until I started preparing for this teaching this morning. Four times is recorded in the Bible that Joseph had an encounter with an angel. First, you know, when Mary was pregnant, an angel appeared to Joseph saying, look, the pregnancy, I'm paraphrasing now, is of the Holy Spirit, you know, so don't be afraid to take Mary, you know, your wife. You know, so that was the first time. The second time, was what we read sometime, I think, on last Sunday, when after the wise men came from the east, and then they came to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem, from the king's palace, they went into Bethlehem. And after they had left, the Bible says the angel appeared to Joseph, you know, to take the child to Egypt, because obviously Herod was going to begin to plan to kill the child. That was the second time. The third time that an angel Joseph had an encounter with an angel was while they were in Egypt. Herod, you know, died, and an angel appeared to him, and he was asked to take the child back, you know, because the people that were after the child's life, they were dead. And so they made that journey. The first time was when Joseph became reluctant to go back to Judea, because obviously the son of Herod was the one reigning, you know, in that region. So he had an encounter with an angel, and subsequent to that, he was able to make it to a place called Galilee instead of Judea. Those four times were recorded in the Bible as Joseph having an encounter with an angel. But there is something interesting about all of those encounters. All of those encounters were actually in a dream. All of them. There was a dream, and then the angel will appear to Joseph. There will be a dream, and then the angel will appear to Joseph. Now, but the encounter that we're about to read in this particular instance with Mary was not in a dream. You know, it was almost like face-to-face conversation with an angel. I don't know exactly why God chose to send an angel to Joseph in a dream. I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine. We can all have speculations, you know, or, you know, just come up with, conjure some theory. But I suspect that maybe it might be like, look, let's knock this guy out first before we actually talk to him. Otherwise, he's going to come up with all kinds of doubts. You remember the conversation that the angel had with Zechariah? Zechariah happened to be the father of John. And it was all back and forth, and Zechariah wouldn't believe it. Maybe, just maybe, you know, it was concluded that let's let the conversation be when this guy is already knocked out, you know, sleeping, dreaming, so that he wouldn't have, you know, the leeway to have, you know, doubts and express his doubts. I don't know. I'm just speculating here. But the good thing is that there is only one time recorded in the Bible that Mary actually had a conversation with an angel, and that conversation was not in a dream. It was a face-to-face conversation that we have recorded in Luke chapter number 1. Now, like I said, verse 38 was the conclusion of a conversation. So if you want to get the full gist of the conversation, you start from verse number 26. But remember, while we go through this conversation, I want to mention two things in this conversation. Because sometimes when we think about Mary, we think about, you know, a full-grown adult who has had a lot of years behind her. But Bible scholars make us understand that Mary was a teenager. This was a teenager. So when we read about this conversation, just think in your mind about this conversation is between a teenager and an angel, okay? And secondly, this conversation was between someone who has been betrothed to another, all right? The best way to describe it in our own different time is that she's already engaged, you know, to be married to someone. So she's engaged to be married to Joseph. But the engagement in their day and time is different from ours. Their engagement is as good as a marriage. So their marriage is actually in phases. It's almost like in different phases. So at this time, it is called a betrothal. But it's as good as marriage, because if you remember the passage we read earlier on, I believe that's the first reading or the second reading, where it talks about an angel appearing to Joseph, and he described Joseph as the husband, all right? And then he says, don't be afraid to take your wife, all right? So they were husband and wife, even though they were in that stage called betrothal, all right? After the betrothal, there is going to be a final one, which is at the time when they will actually now begin to live together as husband and wife in the same house, and then they will consummate their marriage. In other words, at this point in time, there was no physical intimacy of any sort between them, even though they were considered husband and wife, they were considered married. So I said all of that because I wanted to give you the background of the conversation that the angel had with Mary. And we go to verse number 26 of Luke chapter number 1, verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed." Now that makes sense to you. Betrothed means they are engaged to be, they're married, they're as good as married, but they have actually not moved together to stay in the same house. "To a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come to him, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Now, pay attention, because this conversation is going to be asking two questions, or rather addressing two questions. There is going to be the what, and then there is going to be the how, all right? The what and the how. Verse 29, "But when she saw him," in other words, when Mary saw him, "she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Now, yes, Mary is a young woman, but she's not, as you're going to see in this conversation, she's not a dumb woman. She's quite very intelligent. This conversation, or this coming together, is going to address the what. The what talks about the promise of God, and then it's going to also talk about the how. The how talks about the process. First, the promise, then the process. Now, verse 31, it says, "And behold," this is the promise, all right? This is the what. This is what is going to happen. "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." I'm sure you have heard all of this before. You have read this passage maybe countless number of times. But I just want you to pay attention to something, because there is a way you get too familiar with certain part of the Bible that you miss actually the core of the matter, the crux of the matter here. I just want you to pay attention. So the promise is delivered, the what has been answered, all right? But like I said, this woman is a young woman, but she's not she's not dumb. She's quite very intelligent. So she's going to interrogate the promise further, which is an intelligent thing to do. Verse 34. "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" Now, the what has been established. You're going to have a son. His name is going to be Jesus. He's going to be great and all of that. That's the what. But the question is how, all right? The promise has been delivered, but what's going to be the details of the process? All right, because it's one thing to know about the promise, it's another thing to know about the process. So this young woman is interrogating the details of the process. You know, what you will immediately notice here is the fact that Mary did not understand what this angel is going to deliver to her in terms of the news. So you're going to have a son, and then Mary said, "By the way, excuse me, sir, how can this be? I don't know any man. You know, I'm a virgin. I'm not yet, you know, with any man." And that's a legitimate question to ask. Verse 35, "And the angel answered." Now, the angel is now going to answer the question of the how. Now, pay attention and you tell me whether you understand this answer, okay? "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. That's the answer of the how. Now, tell me, do you understand this? Now, if you were the Mary, if you were Mary having this conversation, will you say, okay, I get it now. Oh, okay, I didn't understand. Now I understand. Is this going to be convincing to you enough? No. The Holy Spirit will come up. I'm asking you a question. I'm a virgin. I'm not with any man. Am I going to have a son? Oh, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And say, oh, yeah, oh, I did not understand. Oh, yeah, now I understand. Is that going to be your response? Absolutely no. Because you don't. This does not answer, in my opinion, is an answer, but it's an answer that was beyond Mary. It was beyond Mary 2,000 years ago. It's still beyond us now, because it doesn't explain exactly what's going to happen, you know, as far as we are concerned. But I want you to pay attention to the position of Mary, and that's exactly where we come in as 21st century believer. Of course, the angel went ahead to give, you know, further information. In verse 36, it says, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Verse 37, "For with God nothing will be what? Impossible." Now that's the how. Okay? That's the how. It started with the what. You're going to have a child. It's going to be great. His name is going to be Jesus. So how is that going to happen? Oh, the how is simple. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. And by the way, Elizabeth is pregnant, okay? All right? The person that is called too old to be pregnant. I'm paraphrasing now. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Verse 38, this is the position of Mary, and I believe that is the position that we ought to take, especially for many of us. We've got great promises from God, you know, whether directly or from his word, you know. I will see you through your troubles, you know, don't worry. That's a promise that somebody has received. Maybe I will provide for your needs, you know. That's the promise that someone has made, has received. I will restore, you know, your health. I will restore your family. That may be the promise, you know, that you are working on, trusting God for. You know, I will intervene in the situation is a promise that you have received. Now, but the question you're going to ask next is, how is that going to be? How? I get it. I've had the promise, you know. The what has been answered, but how, you know? And for many of us, when the how comes across to us, usually through his word, it's not going to be something like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it now. Okay, I understand. Okay, I didn't see that before. Now I understand. It's likely going to come the same way this information came to Mary. But look at our response in verse number 38. Verse 38 said, so we're still in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. It says, "Then Mary said, 'Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now, this is a very profound statement. But let me break it down, you know, to help some of us to understand it, you know, because there is a lot that has gone behind the scene in terms of our thought process to make her make this statement. And I will break it down at two levels, just to make it simpler for us to understand. So when he says, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word," what's Mary saying, essentially? Now, Mary is actually saying here, translation, you know, first level translation, you know, step one. Mary is actually saying here, "Angel, look, I don't understand it, all right? But I align myself with it. I submit myself to it as a servant submits himself to his master." That's what he's saying here. I don't understand it, you know, but I align myself with it. I submit myself to it the same way, you know, a servant will submit herself to our Lord or to our servant. That's why it says, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord." Now, in the natural, at the earthly level, a servant submits himself to his master, not because he has no choice. You know, a servant does not have a choice. He just has to submit himself to his master. But this is where it's different in this instance. You know, Mary is submitting herself to God here because she trusted God's plan. You know, so she's essentially submitting herself to God as a maidservant, not as someone who does not have a choice, but as someone who actually trusted the plan. All right. So let me summarize the translation of this particular verse, the thought process behind it. So this is essentially what Mary is saying. You know, I don't understand it. All right. But I submit myself to it because I trust you. You know, I don't fully understand what you're saying. But I submit myself to God because I trust him. I trust him. I trust him to do it. I trust him to bring it about. I trust him to do the things that is going to be to my advantage. I just trust him. I don't understand it, but I trust him. And I think that's the message of Christmas, people of God. In all of this is a message of trust. It's a message of people that trusted God. Mary received the information from the angel and aligned herself with it, not because she understood the process, because she understood the details, but because she trusted God. The same way Joseph received the information from the angel. Obviously, the information came through the angel, but from the Lord. And he aligned himself with it because he trusted God. The shepherds, while they are watching their flocks in the night, they receive an information from the angel, and they trusted that it was true. And so they said, oh, let's go and see this baby that has been born in Bethlehem. And they left whatever they were doing, and they went there. The point I'm making, people of God, is this. In your walk with God, there are instances when you will not understand the details of the process. That does not invalidate the thing that the Lord has said. It just means that you don't understand it. And that's fine. You know, because there is only so much that we can understand, you know. There is no problem with us, and God is not going to be mad at us asking questions. But if you're going to wait until you actually fully understand the details of the process before you make the first step, then you're going to put yourself in trouble because you're not going to make the step at all. And that is the point of Christmas. Christmas is a period when we are reminded again that a birth happened because certain people trusted God. And I want to challenge you to trust God in the details of the process of your life without necessarily understanding the details, you know. And that's the point that this message from Mary is saying. It said, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Now, in this kingdom, your depth and the level that you're going to walk with God is not going to be measured by your knowledge. It's going to be measured by your trust, your ability to trust, all right? As a matter of fact, it is what you know. If what you know does not translate into you trusting God the more, then whatever you know is not very useful. To put it blankly, it's useless. If whatever you know does not help you to further navigate, you know, the path of trusting God the more, then whatever you know is not very useful to you. And that's why it is important, this young woman, very young, you know, a virgin, but she trusted, you know, the God who put the process together, even though she didn't fully understand, you know, the details of the process. And one more thing, she did one more fantastic thing in my opinion, and that's recorded in verse number 39. This is what he says. Don't forget in verse 36, while the angel delivered the news to him, to her, the angels mentioned Elizabeth. Elizabeth is now pregnant. The whole person or the old woman, your relative, has now conceived in her old age. And so in verse 39, after the angel has departed, Mary did something. The Bible says, Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. Now, question. So why did Mary have to make this journey? It's a journey that was going to last days, all right? It will have lasted a couple of days, 3 to 5 days, you know. So why would Mary have made this journey? There are a couple of possibilities. But I think that this journey is not unrelated to the message of the angel. All right? Because the angel said, look, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That's the conclusion. Elizabeth is even pregnant now. Can you believe that? Your cousin? And everybody has given up on that. Now, why is that important to Mary? Mary needed to make this journey to further feed her faith. Oh, if it happened to Mary, or rather if it happened to Elizabeth, who is now old and advanced in age, then there is no reason for me not to believe whatever the angel has said. In other words, she moved in the direction of feeding her faith. People of God, let me tell you something. Faith grows when you feed it. And what I want to challenge you in this at this Christmas and moving into the new year is that you pay attention to how you feed your faith rather than your doubt. Mary could have consulted with a lot of people that could have told her, are you kidding me? You are a virgin, you're not married, and you're going to be pregnant. No, forget about it. What did you have last night? Did you drink too much of coffee or alcohol? No, come off it. No, but she didn't do that. She went straight to confirm what the angel has said because that was going to feed her faith. And as soon as she got there and she saw this old woman pregnant, I think what would have been going on in her mind is, if this woman that was considered too old is able to be pregnant, then myself, who is considered unmarried, should not have any doubt, trusting that I can actually have a son according to what the angel of God said. So make it a duty to follow the path that is going to feed your faith. In all of this, remember, yes, you have the promise. Yes, you don't understand the full details of the process. But in all of it, you can still trust God. You can still trust God. You can still what? Trust God. All right, let's round up. Can you please stand up? Fragrance, please join me off stage, and we'll take the final carol, and we'll get on our way.